We are in lesson number 15 in the book of Leviticus, and we are going to be in chapter 19 of that book. So I invite you to open your Bible to chapter 19 of the book of Leviticus. This is lesson number 15. Today we're going to highlight some points for you as we go through the scripture. We're going to deal today with the law of the ways of life as presented by the Lord to the Israelites. They're camped outside, just down a little ways from the foot of Mount Sinai. And under the laws of the ways of life, we're going to talk about the ways of the Lord's holiness, and He's going to talk about the things that you shall not do and the things that you shall do. Then following that, we're going to go to the ways of the Lord's statutes. And in that section, we're going to deal with all different kinds of statutes, kinds of things. And if we have time at the end of the lesson, we're going to move on from this topic to another topic of the law of the sin penalty. So I want you to make sure, open up your Bible, chapter 19, the book of Leviticus, and follow along with us. Now, the Lord has turned His attention to delivering what I have already said to you, His law for the way, the ways of life for the nation of Israel when she enters into the promised land. Now, first we come to the ways of the Lord's holiness in the promised land. Now, these are things which He expects the Jewish people to do when they enter the promised land. He begins with the holiness of the people, the holiness of the people. Chapter 19, verse number 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the sons of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." Now the Hebrew word for holy is kodosh, and it means sacred. And as we begin this section, we must remember that the whole world is living according to man's customs, to man's laws, to man's practices. And just 1 year before the Lord delivers this text in this book, no scripture existed on earth anywhere. There was no scripture. It was not until the year that this book is being given, that also Genesis is going to be given, Exodus is going to be recorded and then added to a little bit later on to tie in some things by Joshua. Parts of the life of what's happening in the book of Numbers is occurring. But this law that is given here in the book of Leviticus is the first laws from the Lord that have ever been given. The rest of the world is doing what man pleases with his own heart to do, with his own mind to do. And because man acted according to his own desires, sin, as we know sin, ran rampant across the world. Now, I remind you, there's been no laws, so they don't always know what sin is. So they've done what they wanted to do and how they wanted to live their life. And with the nation of Israel being the Lord's chosen people, He wanted them to hold to His standards, His ways of life, not the ways of the world. He wanted the nation of Israel to be holy as He is holy. And the whole world will consider the ways of Israel to be odd. They'll look at these Jews and think, "Boy, you are strange, strange, strange." Well, they're not odd. They are merely following the instruction of the Creator and how He intends for them to live. And that is the reason He instructs them to be a holy people. So the Lord wants His Jews, in being a holy people, to be a respectful people. Verse 3a, "Every one of you shall reverence his mother and his father." So the Lord does not require His people to agree with the ways of his father and mothers. Instead, He demands that His people be respectful or reverent towards their fathers and their mothers. Now, in the Ten Commandments, the Lord says, "Honor your father and mother." Honor means to show respect or reverence. But with the Ten Commandments, the Lord desires for His people to bring honor to the parents, regardless of the character and nature and ways of those parents. So how do you do that? By being an honorable, respectful person of integrity, even if it means your parents were the worst of the worst in the world, you still be a person of integrity. You still be a person of honor, and that will bring honor to your parents. The Lord desires also that you be a faithful people. So you be a respectful people, and you be a faithful people to Him. Verse 3b. And you shall keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Now the day of rest is important to the Lord, and He watches His creation, and He cares for His creation. He created the Sabbath day for rest and declared it to be so. And He said, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. That's over in the Ten Commandments. So we've got a respectful people. We've got a people who are faithful people. And then we come to the Lord wanting them to be a loyal people. And we see that in verse 4. Do not turn to idols and make yourselves molten gods. I am the Lord your God. No other gods exist. Absolutely none. The Lord is the only God. He addresses this in the first commands of the Ten Commandments. And it detests the Lord when His people worship man's fabrications rather than the Lord Himself as God. Man has fabricated gods. The Lord does not want His people to worship fabricated gods by other humans and other men, and He wants them to be a loyal people. Next, He wants them to be a thankful people. Therefore, He reminds the people of how He, as the Lord God, provided for them to show thankfulness to Him in the sacrifice of peace that we learned about in the third chapter of the book of Leviticus, verse number 5. Now, when you offer a sacrifice of peace offering to the Lord, you shall offer it so that you may be accepted. It shall be eaten the same day you offer it and the next day. But what remains until the third day shall be burned with fire. So if it is eaten at all on the third day, it is an offense. It will not be accepted. Everyone who eats it will bear his iniquity. For he has profaned the holy thing of the Lord, and that person shall be cut off from his people. Nothing new here. The Lord just simply reminds His people how to show that they are thankful to Him for the provisions that He provides for their daily needs. Remember, the sacrifice of peace offerings are thank offerings. They're not required by the Lord for the people to bring, but the people bring them on their own for different reasons. The people are also to be a giving people. The Lord gives to provide the needs of His people. And He also requires that His people pass on from what He has given to others with needs. What He has given them, He wants them to pass it on to others who have needs. Verse number 9. Now when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest, nor shall you glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather the fallen fruit of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the needy and for the stranger. I am the Lord your God. To glean means to scrape the edges. The main part of all the crops belongs to the owner, that big mesh in the middle. And the Lord's going to bless that. And the Lord's going to give all that main crop to them to bless Him. But the Lord wants the owner to bless the poor people by leaving the edges and the corners of the fields for the poor people to come and collect grain, that they do not have to pay for it as a gift. And in this way, the poor, the needy, and the stranger did not have to leave the road to gather a meal. They could just step to the edge of the road without transgressing the whole property of the farmer, and they could gather something for them to eat. Well, with that and under that, the Lord then turns to this second section, to the things that you shall not do among the in the promised land among the people. You shall not be a thief among the people is the first thing that he says. Verse 11, you shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another. To steal, to deal falsely, or to lie is all theft in one way or another. It's the theft of property, of misleading, or of untruth. These three are uniquely joined together because they always seem to be present together in people's evil actions. And when a child tells a lie to a parent, the lie is attached to a false dealing with the parent face to face. It also always included some sort of theft or something. Something wasn't done right. Now think about these three the next time you watch a Hallmark movie. And although they are rated for all audiences with the plot, someone deals falsely with another, steals something from that person, and lies about the theft. All three go together. Now you may question property theft, but please keep in mind that there are many kinds of property. Property can be movable, it can be immovable. It can be tangible, it can be intangible. It can be private, it can be public. It can be personal, it can be real. It can be corporal, or it can be incorporeal. So the Lord says, don't do that. He also says that you should not be a profaner among the people. A profaner among the people. Verse 12. You shall not swear falsely by my name, so as to profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. To swear means to take an oath. So in this verse, the Lord does not always allow for someone to take an oath using his name with the intent of being dishonest. He doesn't allow that. He doesn't want you to use his name and swear in dishonesty, to swear in deceitfulness, or to swear with deception. It profanes the name of the Lord when he is included in these types of evils. The Lord also says, you shall not be an oppressor among the people. Jews were not to oppress other people. Verse 13, you shall not oppress your neighbor, nor rob him. The wages of a hired man are not to remain with you all night until morning. Now, an oppressor exercises undue severity in the use of power or authority. Two kinds of oppressors are listed here: the oppressor of the neighbor and the oppressor of the employee. First, the oppressor who is unreasonable to the neighbor, demanding this or demanding that with something new every day. Some of us have been fortunate to have a neighbor that's always got something going on and being oppressive upon us. Or there's the person who threatens his neighbor's property as his own and takes what he wants without asking, never returning what does not belong to him. Now, a robber, he is. Second, now we come to this oppressor who holds the wages of the employee. The Bible teaches to pay the hired man at the end of each day. Don't hold that money from him. He's a day laborer. Pay him each day. The Lord says, you shall not be a stumbling block among the people. A stumbling block. Look in verse 14 here. You shall not curse a deaf man, nor place a stumbling block before the blind, but you shall revere your God, for I am the Lord. Now Moses begins by saying, you shall not curse a deaf man. The Hebrew word for curse is a word that does not carry the same meaning that we use today. This word curse means to treat lightly. Do not treat a deaf man lightly. As such, here in the context, it means to cause trouble for a deaf person by making life difficult. Don't make life difficult for a deaf person. And that falls right in line with the second part of the sentence that says, nor place a stumbling block before the blind. When you make life difficult or treat lightly someone, you've made a stumbling block for that person. Well, don't be a stumbling block for the deaf and don't be a stumbling block for the blind. Both make the way difficult for the deaf and the blind. And then the Lord ends with, you shall revere your God. The word revere, most of you know, means to have reverence. Have reverence for the Lord. He would not want the way of the deaf and the way of the blind to be hindered by anyone, and neither should His people. Now the Lord says that you shall not be a, get this, a partisan among the people. To be a partisan among the people. Verse number 15. You shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor defer to the great, but you are to judge your neighbor fairly. Most injustices in life come from partisanship. Now, to be partial means to be one-sided, to be biased, to incline or to favor one party in a cause or one side of a question more than the other. All people should be treated with fairness, the rich and the poor alike. The Lord goes on to say, you shall not be a defamer among the people, and we see that in verse 16. You shall not go about as a slanderer among your people, and you are not to act against the life of your neighbor, for I am the Lord. Simply, in the Promised Land, the people are not to disgrace, not to dishonor, or not to impair others' reputations in the nation. The Lord goes on to say, you are not to be a hater among the people. Verse number 17. You shall not hate your fellow countrymen in your heart. You may surely reprove your neighbor, but you shall not incur sin because of him. Hate is an interesting thing. Those who hate others let the hate consume their lives, their hearts, and their souls. It is a constant ill will towards others. The problem and the sin are with the person who hates instead of the one being hated. In opposition, some people need to be reproved. Part of the word reprove is the word to prove. When it was first used in the original English translation, it means to prevent the proof or to prove the truth. It is the same in this passage. Some people, especially those who have hate for someone, need to have the facts presented to them to prove the wrongness of their ways. The last part of this verse says, but shall not incur sin because of him. Proving wrong does not mean you are doing wrong. Now the Lord continues to say, you are not to be a revenger among the people. Verse 18, you shall not take revenge, nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Vengeance involves passionate, often unrestrained desire to punish. Grudge involves ongoing envy, jealousy, or contempt for another person. The people of the nation of Israel should never participate in either. They are to love their neighbors as they want to be loved. In the same way, the normal person loves themselves. Now the Lord comes to this next section here. This thing called the ways of the Lord's statutes, under the ways of life. They're in the promised land. So from the ways of the Lord's holiness, we come to the ways of the Lord's statutes. So we begin the statutes concerning the different kinds of things, as we talked about, the different kinds of things. Verse 19. You are to keep my statutes. You shall not breed together two kinds of your cattle. You shall not sow your fields with two kinds of seed, nor wear a garment upon you of two kinds of material mixed together. Well, the breeding of two kinds of animals is strictly forbidden. Absolutely. We understand why. Now, left alone, nature and natural attraction of animals will always be of like kind. The horse with the horse, the snake with the snake, the fish with the fish. However, in other nations worldwide, breeding experiments had already begun. And the Lord disapproved of such practices. That's the reason why He gave this instruction. Because in the Canaanite land, they were already trying to mix the breeding types. And He disapproved of it. And as for the sowing of seed and mixing of materials as garments, we kind of struggle with that. But we find similar statements in Moses' summary over in Deuteronomy 39 years after Leviticus is given. He's going to give us some information about that. And over in Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 9, the Lord says, "You shall not sow your vineyard with two kinds of seeds, or all the produce of the seeds which you have sown, and the increase of the vineyard will become defiled." Now, what Deuteronomy 22, 9, it changes the planting of the seeds of the field in Leviticus to the vineyard. Over in Leviticus, it was the, and where we're studying, it's the field. Here in Deuteronomy, it's the field. Over in Leviticus, it's the vineyard. So the end of verse 9 says, with the mixing of seeds, remember this, verse 9 in Deuteronomy chapter 22, the increase of the vineyard, not the field here, Leviticus says the field, Deuteronomy says the vineyard will become defiled. This verse explains the reason. You see, the fruits of different seeds mature at different times. And the harvest of two different crops from the same field become almost impossible to harvest because you've got different crops growing at the same time. And damage to one crop will occur whenever you get in to harvest it, you will also damage the other crops, so it will be defiled also. Thus, your increase will be defiled because it will decrease. You want to plant the same type of plants in the same type of area. Now, concerning the mixed materials, we see a similar statement in Moses' summary over in Deuteronomy, and it's in Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 11. There he says, "You shall not wear a material mixed of wool and linen together." Now, Deuteronomy indicates that the two materials which should not be worn together are wool and linen. I will tell you this, that much speculation about this law in Leviticus and Deuteronomy can be found in most commentaries. However, little modern-day reasoning can be associated between the two. We must leave this verse as a law to be followed without any modern-day understanding. Now, be that as it may, the Jews would have understood the law and the reason because they were living in that day and time. But for some reason, wool and linen was not to be mixed together. Now, concerning the carnal kind of things, verse 20 the carnal kind of things. Now, if a man lies carnally with a woman who is a slave acquired for another man, but who has in no way been redeemed nor given her freedom, there shall be punishment. They shall not, however, be put to death, because she was not free. He shall bring his guilt offering to the Lord to the doorway of the tent of meeting, a ram for a guilt offering. The priest shall also make atonement for him with the ram of the guilt offering before the Lord for his sin which he has committed, and the sin which he has committed will be forgiven. So in the first place, the sexual sin of a man with a woman that he's not married requires a ram as a guilt offering because he has committed a sin. But see, it's also tied with this second thing. The second thing is this woman was purchased as a slave, and the purchase of a slave is not illegal in the Bible. You can look through here. We're going to deal with it before we finish with Leviticus, and we're going to deal with it in the book of Deuteronomy. Going and purchasing at the slave market is not unlawful, and it is not a sin. But here's the deal we're going to find out. Once a Jew purchases a slave, the slave falls under a whole new set of restrictions. That slave woman cannot be sold. She must be released at the end of 6 years or redeemed by the owner and given her freedom. Without these restrictions being met, she is still under the complete control of the one who purchased her, at least for 6 years. And after the woman's purchase, one way or another, at the end of 6 years, she will be free to marry who she wishes to marry. But during that 6 year period, when he has paid for her and brought her out of freedom, she's going to work for him. But not working like a slave. He's going to be respectful of him. We're going to get to that a little bit later. It requires however, by what this man has done to her, this sin does not require the death penalty, as in another case that we will see too. This sin requires the guilt offering. At the point of freedom, this woman can choose to stay with her owner or to become a bond slave. And if she makes that choice, a whole new way will be made for her to be known to everybody that she belongs to someone else. And the way that will happen is, she will go up to the door and put her earlobe on the door, and they will take an awl and place a hole in her ear, which indicates her permanent decision. She does not belong to the man who defiled her. She belongs to the one who purchased her, and she is going to stay there with that man and be thankful for everything and serve him not as a slave, not as a hired hand, but a person who's staying with him because of his kindness to redeem her from slavery from another pagan nation. Now, concerning planting different kinds of things, the planting of kinds of things, we come down to verse number 23. When you enter the land and plant all kinds of trees for food, then you shall count their fruit as forbidden. Did you catch that? The fruit of these trees that you're going to plant is forbidden. 3 years it shall be forbidden to you. So for 3 years you cannot eat it. It shall not be eaten. But in the fourth year, all its fruit shall be holy, an offering of praise to the Lord. And in the fifth year, you are to eat of its fruit, that it yields may increase for you. I am the Lord your God. So once this tree sprouts from the ground, the fruit from that tree must not be taken for food. Most likely, the fruit will be discarded as soon as it appears to allow the energy, instead of concentrating and developing an apple or an orange or whatever, that plant, to go to the development of the plant quickly. But in the fourth year, all the fruit that comes on that tree is to be gathered and taken and given to the Levites. But in the fifth year, then the fruit belongs to the owner. Now, concerning the cultic kinds of things, the Lord brings us to verse 26. You shall not eat anything with the blood, nor practice divination or soothsaying. Much has been said to this point in Leviticus concerning the Lord's prohibition against blood eating. Here it is tied to cultic practices used by the Canaanites and by other nations. It was used in Egypt in divination and also in soothsaying. The three go together. There are three things that go together. And these three things are forbidden. You shall not eat the blood. You shall not practice divination. You shall not practice soothsaying. Now, concerning the grooming kind of things, in verse 27, you shall not round off the side growth of your heads, nor harm the edges of your beard. Now the Lord gave this statute concerning the appearances of men that live and are part of the nation of Israel on purpose. In the whole rest of the world's religious practices, men shave the sides of their heads, kind of forming this style of a mohawk, and sometimes they would shave down the middle and shave the sides and leave the kind of two mohawks on either side. And they would also shave the sides of their beards, forming these little goatee type things. And the Lord strictly forbids that for all the men of Israel. Why? Because the Lord wanted them to be immediately noticed as being a different kind of people by the way that they were groomed. Now the Lord talks about the things concerning the body marking kind of things in verse 28. You shall not make any cuts in your body for the dead, and get this, or make any tattoo marks on yourself. I am the Lord. The Lord forbids body cuttings and tattoos. Now, concerning cuts in your body for the dead and tattoo marks, both are common practices in cult worship. Both cause the unnatural disfiguration of the body. Forbidden. Now, concerning the trafficking kinds of things, we come to verse 29. Do not profane your daughter by making her a harlot, so that the land will not fall to harlotry and the land becomes full of lewdness. The scripture uses the word harlot. In a modern translation for today, the better word that matches this context that we know is prostitute. Parents in Israel are not to traffic their daughters into prostitution for income, for bargaining, for bartering, or favors of any kinds of things. Now the Lord approaches and comes to the statute concerning the worship kind of things. The worship kind of things. From the trafficking kind of things, we go to the worship kind of things. Verse 30. You shall keep my Sabbath and revere my sanctuary. I am the Lord. The Sabbaths and the sanctuary are two of the most important things to the Lord. Both are involved in the worship of the Lord every 7 days. And with that, the Lord turns to the statute concerning the defiling kind of things. And we see that in verse 31. Do not turn to mediums or spiritists. Do not seek them out to be defiled by them, for I am the Lord your God. Now, what is the difference between the two? Well, a medium delivers spiritual messages. A spiritist claims to communicate with the deceased, the dead. Both are fake. Both are idolatry, and the Lord forbids both. Then the Lord gives the statute concerning the elderly kinds of things in verse 32. You shall rise up before the gray-headed and honor the aged, and you shall revere your God, for I am the Lord. Older people are to be honored by the people of the nation of Israel. It's a statute. Then there's a statute concerning the foreign kind of things, the foreigner kind of things, in verse 33. When a stranger resides with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. The stranger who resides with you shall be to you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself, for you were alien in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Foreigners are to be treated with the same love and respect as you have for your native tribal friends. Then we come to the statute concerning the commerce kinds of things. Verse 35. You shall do no wrong in judgment, in measurement of weight or capacity. You shall have just balances, just weights, a just ephah, and a just hin. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. All commerce between Jew and Jew, or between Jew and foreigner, must be fair in every transaction. Then the Lord gives the statute concerning the Lord's kinds of things, the ones that belong to Him, verse 37. You shall thus observe all my statutes and my ordinances, and do them. I am the Lord. Verse 37. So the nation of Israel must follow these statutes that He's just given. In fact, all the statutes in the book of Leviticus are to be followed. That is precisely what the Lord wants them to do, and that's the Lord's kind of statutes and the Lord's kind of things. You follow Him and what He says to do, and all will be well. Well, it looks like we have time to go on to this next area, which is called the law of the sin penalty. Leaving this law of the ways of life in the promised land, we come to this law of the sin penalty. These of idolatry sins. And the first is the sin by playing the harlot with Molech. Playing the harlot with a false god addresses those who act in the worship of Molech. Now we're in chapter 20 now and verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, "You shall also say to the sons of Israel, any man from the sons of Israel or from the aliens sojourning in Israel who gives any of his offspring to Molech shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. I will also set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people because he has given some of his offspring to Molech so as to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name." In this passage, the Lord speaks again about Molech. We spoke in detail about this sin over in chapter 18, verse 21. And here, the penalty is clear. Anyone caught worshiping and making child sacrifices to Molech was to be put to death by stoning. Now, the worship of false gods is in direct contradiction to the Lord's law when He gave it there at the foot of Mount Sinai in the Ten Commandments. But the Lord does not merely address the worshiper of Molech. He also addresses those who disregard the worship of Molech. Verse 4. If the people of the land, however, should ever disregard that man when he gives any of his offspring to Molech, so as not to put him to death, then I myself will set my face against that man and against his family, and I will cut off from among their people both him and all those who play the harlot after him by playing the harlot after Molech. Sin is sin. Right is right. Wrong is wrong. Those who see the sin must address the sin. The worship of Molech must not be tolerated or ignored in Israel. Why is the Lord giving this law? He knows His creation. He knows His people. He knows Israel. He knows some of them will turn their heads and disregard the sinful worship of Molech, thinking nothing is wrong with the practice. Oh, let him do what he wants to do. It's not my place to correct him. God will correct him. I see him do it, but I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to get in the way. Oh, I might be chastised if I say something to him. But the Lord will punish those people who don't say something. He will punish them by cutting them off from the nation of Israel, the Scripture says. Playing the harlot with Molech is not the only concern of the Lord. He also calls out playing the harlot with mediums in verse 6. As for the person who turns to mediums and to spiritists to play the harlot after them, I will also set my face against the person and will cut him off from among his people. You shall consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my statutes and practice them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. When Israel takes the promised land, the seeking out of the mediums and the spiritists is strictly forbidden in chapter 19, verse 31 of this lesson. 39 years after this law is given, with the nation of Israel stationed in the plains of Moab, ready to cross over to take the promised land in the following month, the Lord adds to this law. We find it in Deuteronomy chapter 18, starts with verse 9. When you enter the land which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not learn to imitate the detestable things of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, one who uses divination, one who practices witchcraft, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who casts spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For whoever does these things is detestable to the Lord. And because of these detestable things, the Lord your God will drive them out before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. For those nations which you shall dispossess, listen to those who practice witchcraft and diviners, but as for you, the Lord your God has not allowed you to do so. In other words, the Canaanites love the witchcraft. The Canaanites love the diviners. The Egyptians love the diviners. The people of Syria love the diviners and witchcraft. But the nation of Israel is not to. If the mediums and the spiritists are of Canaanite blood, the nation was to destroy them totally. We know from the story of King Saul found in 1 Samuel that he visited the witch of Endor the night before his death. She knew she was not supposed to be practicing in the land. She also was deathly afraid when she realized her client was King Saul. She knew she should not have been in the land. Saul knew she was not to be in the land, but he knew she was in the land. And both had defiled the Lord's law. Saul knew where to find her. From the idolatry sins, we come to the relationship sins with the Lord. First, we're going to address the profanity in family relationships. Verse 9. If there is anyone who curses his father and his mother, he shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother. His blood guiltiness is upon him. In the retelling of this law over in Deuteronomy, Moses says it like this. If any man has a stubborn or rebellious son who will not obey his father or his mother, and when they chastise him, he will not even listen to them, then his father and mother shall seize him and bring him out to the elders of the city at the gateway of his hometown. And they shall say to the elders of the city, "This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death. So you shall remove the evil from your midst, and all Israel will hear of it and fear. Chapter 21, verses 18 through 21. Failing to honor parents is directly against the Ten Commandments. Now, we come to that penalty for sexual relationships in adultery. Adultery. Sexual relationships. Verse 10. If there is a man who commits adultery with another man's wife, one who commits adultery with his friend's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. Often people use adultery as a reason for divorce. However, in the nation of Israel, adultery was never a reason for divorce. The penalty for adultery is death. Now, until the giving of this law in Leviticus, the whole world practiced incest. Looking into the book of Genesis and the 2,352 years that are recorded in that book, you will not find one restriction from the Lord concerning what we think is incest relationships. They are new for one nation. These laws are new about incest for one nation, and that's the nation of Israel. And here they are, verse 11. If there is a man who lies with his father's wife, he has uncovered his father's nakedness. Both of them shall surely be put to death. Their blood guiltiness is upon them. Well, before we learned this was just a sin, but now we learn what the penalty is. Because you have the same blood as your father. Your father is one flesh with his wife. Therefore, there is a blood relationship with your father's wife. And she is legally off limits to any sexual relationship. The penalty for having that relationship is death. Then comes the relationship with a son's wife in verse 12. If there is a man who lies with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have committed incest. Their blood guiltiness is upon them. You are of the same blood as your son. Your son is one flesh with his wife. Therefore, there is a blood relationship with your son's wife. She's off limits. You have sex with your daughter-in-law. The penalty is death. Next, the Lord addresses homosexuality. Verse 13. If there is a man who lies with a male as those who lie with a woman, both of them have committed a detestable act. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood guiltiness is upon them. The unnatural union of a male with a man, or a man with a man, or a male with a male, female with female, or whatever, is detestable to the Lord. It is against His natural order of creation. The penalty for such is death. In marriage, a man cannot marry a woman and his mother-in-law also. Verse number 14. If there is a man who marries a woman and her mother, it is immoral. Both he and they shall be burned with fire, so that there will be no more immorality in your midst. All three are to be burned. If you marry a woman, she becomes one flesh with you. Therefore, her mother is off limits to you because your wife and her mother are blood kin. The penalty is death. Humans cannot mate with animals, and that is called bestiality. Verse number 15. If there is a man who lies with an animal, he shall surely be put to death. You shall also kill the animal. If there's a woman who approaches any animal to mate with it, you shall kill the woman and the animal. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood guiltiness is upon them. The mating of humans and animals is against the natural order of the Lord's creation. The penalty is death. In families, we come to incest with sisters. Verse 17. If there's a man who takes his sister, his father's daughter, or his mother's daughter, so that he sees her nakedness and she sees his nakedness, it is a disgrace, and they shall be cut off in the sight of the sons of their people. He has uncovered his sister's nakedness. He bears his guilt. Brothers and sisters are of the same blood, from at least one parent. They are off limits to each other. The death penalty is not included here. Instead, excommunication from the nation of Israel is given. If brothers and sisters entering relationships, sexual relationships, they are to be thrown out of the nation of Israel. Every month, the body of a woman cleans itself. The Lord's law forbids a sexual relationship with a menstruous woman. Verse 18. If there is a man who lies with a menstruous woman and uncovers her nakedness, he has laid bare her flow, and she has exposed the flow of her blood. Thus both of them shall be cut off from among the people. The death penalty is not put in here. No. The penalty is excommunication, thrown out of being part of the nation of Israel. Incestuous relationships with aunts and uncles comes next. Verse 19. You shall also not uncover the nakedness of your mother's sister or your father's sister. For such a one has made naked his blood relative. They will bear the guilt. If there is a man who lies with his uncle's wife, he has uncovered his uncle's nakedness. They will bear their guilt. They will be childless. Neither the death penalty nor excommunication from the nation of Israel is indicated here. The penalty here is childlessness. Finally, the Lord forbids sexual relationships with a sister-in-law. Verse 21. If there is a man who takes his brother's wife, it is abhorrent. He has uncovered his brother's nakedness. They will be childless. Two brothers are blood kin through their parents. Therefore, the wife of a brother is off limits. The penalty here is childlessness. Now, when we study over in the book of Deuteronomy, the Lord will address these laws again. And from the profanity in family relationships, the penalty in sexual relationships, we come to the purpose of godly relationships. It is to secure Israel in the land first by following the Lord's way. Verse 22. You are therefore to keep all my statutes and all my ordinances and to do them, so that the land in which I am bringing you to live will not spew you out. Now, in chapter 18, we discover that the Canaanite land was being given to the nation of Israel because the Canaanites were guilty of doing everything the Lord forbids the Jews to do when they enter the promised land. The Canaanites are being spewed out of the land. And here we have a warning and a promise. If the Israelites break the Lord's laws, they will also be spewed out of the land. Here we see that again in the next verse. Verse 23. Because the Lord is rejecting the Canaanites' ways. And so it is to secure Israel in the land. Verse 23. Moreover, you shall not follow the customs of the nation, which I will drive out before you. For they did all these things, and therefore I have abhorred them. To fulfill this requirement, the Canaanites must be destroyed. Israel will fail to do that. Long before the Lord abhorred the Canaanites, He patiently waited until the nation of Israel was ready to take the land. And having a godly relationship with the Lord would secure Israel in the land, but would also separate Israel in the land by differentiating between Israel and between others. The land is going to be separate for Israel, and there's going to be a difference between Israel and others. Verse 24. Hence I have said to you, you are to possess their land, and I myself will give it to you to possess it, a land flowing with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, who has separated you from the people. No other nation has these restrictions. Israel's to be the holy nation, separate, different from all the other nations, separated from them, by distinguishing between the clean and the unclean also. As a unique nation, Israel will do something no other nations will do by distinguishing themselves with the clean and the unclean because the Lord told them to. Verse 25. You are therefore to make a distinction between the clean animals and the unclean, between the unclean bird and the clean, And you shall not make yourselves detestable by animal or by bird or by anything that creeps on the ground, which I have separated for you as unclean. All of the people of the world did not distinguish between clean and unclean animals for food. Everybody ate. Every animal was food. In fact, the Lord had declared that to be so when He allowed, when Noah came off of the ark and they came off and the Lord said, anything that creeps or walks on the ground, whatever, you can eat it. But for this new nation, for the nation of Israel, there would be a difference between the clean and the unclean foods. First, we saw the purpose of a godly relationship with the Lord to secure the land of Israel. And then He separated Israel in the land, and now He is going to sanctify Israel in the land. So He secured Israel in the land, He separated Israel in the land, and now He sanctifies Israel in the land. Verse 26. Thus you are to be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and I have set you apart from the people to be mine. The nation of Israel belongs to the Lord. It is His holy nation. It is His royal priesthood. It is the nation Peter will write two letters to in the New Testament. But by then, the nation will be in total rebellion against the Lord. So what does the Lord say? We looked at the idolatry sins, then relationship sins, and finally we come here to the medium sins in this section, verse 27. Now a man or a woman who is a medium or a spiritist shall surely be put to death. They shall be stoned with stones. Their blood guiltiness is upon them. The penalty for the occultic activity is death. As we turn to chapter 21, the Lord will specifically address the law for the life of a priest. But folks, our time is up, and that will come in the next lesson. May the Lord add to the reading of this word, and may the Holy Spirit be our teacher. We love you, Lord. In your name, amen.